access to that, to the meeting minutes?
They set them out for lunch.
October?
I just pulled them off.
Kurt, are you rolling, Kurt?
Is I there?
So we are currently recording right now.
Okay, we are back in session at 1:19. We ended our executive session. We're in open session, and we're just waiting for people to assemble in their seats from the audience and the AG.
How was that? I don't remember this.
So, does any member of the board have a motion at this point?
Mr. Chair, I move that we proceed consistent with discussions with counsel in executive session.
Second that, Chair.
We have a motion and a second from Gilmore. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, motion passes. Thank you, Mr. Harris.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm going to regret that.
Thank you, Frank.
Okay, so we covered 9E. My sign-in sheet. We went through the sign-in sheets. We still have a couple of enforcement items, I believe. So let's go back to item 6. I'm showing a C1.
C1, 2, and 3, I think.
C1, 2, and 3. We did 4. So let's go to 6C1 unless there's any opportunities to consent.
Does anybody have any of these three they want to talk about? Any issues?
All right.
C1, 2, or 3?
On C1, I just have an editorial. I made a note to myself that the order is dated 2019. Should be 2020. Let me go back. Find the PDF page.
You weren't there.
No, I wasn't there. That's why I was asking questions. My husband's in.
Okay, so Gene, since you're looking at that and you're going to offer some kind of correction to a typo, let's just consider us as discussing 6C1 right now.
Right. So go to page 12, 18 in the PDF file, and just the order looks like it's been proposed for 2019.
Yeah, the blank one?
Yeah.
I think if it's offered, that can be...
That will be stricken through and updated.
Yeah, and that's pretty typical, Gene.
Okay, so then I have no further comment on the case.
I was going to look for a motion.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I'll move that we consent agenda items C1, 2, and 3 and offer the proposed consent agreement in those cases.
Second.
We have a motion and a second from Jones. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none. Motion passes. Okay, so we covered our items D. We go to item E1, 6...
E3.
I'm sorry. 6E3.
Architect.
Did we do 6E1?
Yes, we did.
He was the gentleman on the phone.
Oh, that's... Yeah, okay. I'm sorry. Okay, so we're going to 6E3. My apologies for being a little rubber-headed here. 6E3 is case P2028, and this requires board guidance. And let's see what the board's after here. 6E3... Okay, it's case P20-028, Paul Stover, registered architect, 35136. Board received a complaint. Respondent was convicted on 2 counts of aggravated assault, a Class 3 felony in Maricopa County Superior Court. Investigative conclusion is due to the lack of information. It is inconclusive whether the respondent violated the Board's Practice Act. So I will open the table up for dialogue, and Mr. Hunt, if you care to join us on this one.
We have one.
Do you have any initial comments for us or anything?
We didn't get any information other than what was
sent to us by the county and reached out to Mr. Stover several times without any response by email and phone for the information, contact information that we had.
I would say, I mean, I would say just suspend his license.
That'll wake him up.
And then proceed to a hearing for revocation. I mean, would
you
that
know
be
lack of information?
Would that be a way to proceed?
This isn't agendized for a summary suspension, so the board would not have the ability to send it to the suspension immediately. It would have to be agendized that way. Mm-hmm. If the board wanted to proceed to complaint or hearing, the board would have that ability. I don't.
But it was asking for board guidance, so.
Well, I would ask, just an observation, I honestly don't know the answer to this. Is he not responding because he's perhaps incarcerated?
We have the person who's incarcerated.
He's an architect.
Well, that's a good one.
So, would it, exactly. I think maybe we should send it back for some further investigation. For that reason, it's not a renewal, right? I mean, this isn't an issue of him reporting on a renewal or anything. This is just something that was brought to the board's attention through some kind of criminal reporting system or something.
I
wouldn't send it back for more investigation. I think we should send it back to agendize next month for suspension. Then they can do their investigation. Because if you do that, more investigation, then next month it won't be agendized for suspension. Then it'll go again and again. I think if it's agendized for suspension, they can do their background for a month. At least it's on the agenda for next time. And if nothing comes in, then you can suspend.
Champ, is he a sole proprietor? Do we even know that? Does he work for a firm?
Yeah, there's a firm, and I called the number that we have in our information system. Didn't say they were out of operation or anything like that. There were voicemails available.
Do you remember the name?
Neil Jones Architecture.
Jones Studio.
Jones Studio.
Jones Studio.
It's very possible this was just sent to us because court does notify court about felony convictions, so you can decide if you feel they're relevant to the practice and you want to take disciplinary action. But
yeah, just a conviction.
Right, just this electronically filed thing from the court.
But we learned we can't just summarily suspend. It needs to be agendized.
It has to be agendized for summary suspension.
Aggravated assault. Okay. Somebody like his job.
And
okay, so I'd be looking for a motion.
Okay. So I make a motion to move this to next month, to agendize this for next month for summary suspension of license 3536, Paul Stover.
I'll second that.
Will he get a copy of this?
They can't get a hold of him.
Can't get a hold of him.
We didn't get any return mail that we notices to him.
So at least you'll try that, whether he gets it or not, right?
So obviously it reached its destination.
Yeah. Okay, well, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion passes. Okay, we'll move on to 6F, compliance monitoring investigations. Case number H-118-024, Thomas Culpepper. Request to restore certification as a home inspector. Details, on October 3rd, 2019, the board issued findings of fact, conclusions of law in the following order. Administrative penalty in $1,000, cost of investigation $563, cost of attorney and hearing fees $8840, restitution in the amount of $420, peer review, remedial training of home inspection report writing, stay of revocation, and indefinite suspension of home inspector. The staff recommends that the board restore the respondent's certification as a home inspector to active status. The note on December 2nd is that the respondent has fully complied. So, I move that we follow the staff recommendation and restore the respondent's certification as a home inspector to active status.
Second that, Chair.
Got a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion passes. 6G, review and approval of appointment for EAC membership. Larkin Palmer, certified home inspector. And everybody take a quick peek and be looking for a motion.
Make a motion to accept Larkin Palmer 50795 as an EAC member.
Second. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion passes. Congratulations, Mr. Palmer. Okay, licensing matters, item 7.
I mean, that would be a good example of sending that guy a letter from the board saying congratulations that he actually did all this stuff.
Mr. Culpepper?
Yeah.
Congratulations for,
congratulations.
Complying with the law.
Right.
Doing your jail term?
Yeah.
I mean, he does it. He got his license back. That's a congratulations.
Yeah. Jeez. Oh, geez. Somebody didn't get the participation trophy.
He didn't get, I've been here too damn long.
He didn't get lunch. That's what
yeah.
Yeah.
Get grumpy. Let's get going.
Okay. We have universal licensure applications. We've got five of them. Is there any desire to consent these, group them up and go, or do we need to break them out individually?
I don't have an issue with any of them.
They look great.
Okay.
We did a New York the previous month and the Nevada one. That's even more comprehensive.
Okay. And then the architect and the engineers, do we know if they're just retired and don't want the council records sent? Or
right.
The
a lot of them were. Yeah. We're seeing a lot of maybe architects and engineers have been around for 30 years. They didn't have to go through the process of NCARB. Or have an NCARB record or an NCES record, so it's cheaper and easier for them to go through this way. So
I would have done it this way.
Yeah. Okay, looking for a motion to consent.
Okay, I'll make a motion to consent 7, A through E, and grant.
Do we want to say grant or close, or just grant?
Well, we're not closing any of them.
Okay. Well, we're granting.
Okay, they're all grant. So we have a motion to grant, consent and grant.
Second.
We've got a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion passes. Licensing consent agenda, item number 8. Everybody take a peek.
Neil, are you on
here? Can we bring Madison on?
Made it through another month.
You guys will probably stick me on the
list. HC.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
HC, no idea.
You're our agent.
Our architect. Boy, a lot of civils going on.
There's a whole lot of engineers, man.
Yeah.
I think I saw a geologist or two also that dropped out.
Not many of us.
No, we need a surveyor. Okay, so.
We need a geologist.
Do we have an action on A1. We do need to action,
yeah,
don't we?
To cancel.
Okay, so looking for a motion.
Mr. Chair, make a motion to cancel registration certification that have been expired on full year as noted in 8A1.
Second.
We've got a motion and a second by Jones. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none. Motion passes. Take a quick peek at 8A2. List of registrations, certifications.
And these are granted automatically by Melissa?
Administratively.
Administratively.
Yes.
So these aren't the apps that I check? Is this part of what this is?
Yes, those are part of the ones you check.
Is Carmen doing her share?
Carmen always does her share.
Fair share.
Okay, we ready to move on from that?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Policy matters, we did 9A.
9B.
9B, Melissa.
You have a copy in your materials of the letter you authorized me to send to the governor's office with the recommendation and the description of the board action from last month. Andy was present with me on Friday when my head exploded at the governor's office because there will be no response to the NTSB recommendation from our governor. However, they are interested in the North Carolina Dental Board case, which is a five-year-old Supreme Court decision that, as you know, will remove subject matter experts as a quorum of this board. So they would prefer to do that than respond to public protection requirements in the NTSB report. I am sad to report that, but that's the impression that I was left with after that meeting. So I did apologize to Andy for being so angry at them that my voice was wavering and quivering, and they had never experienced such a hostile meeting before. So, yeah, so much for a life of public protection.
So say, when would this occur?
When would what?
Like, well, Jason's off. Well, Clarence is going to be on it now. When would this transition happen if it was successful?
Oh, if it were successful and it's not agendized yet, but that would be at the end, 90 days after the close of session, so in August of this year, all the legislative changes become effective. Usually it's August. Sometimes it's early September, depending on how long the session is.
Just don't air condition this room.
So Melissa, is Emily Rakiewicz still with the office of the governor, or did she move on?
She is. She is, however, moving over to become the director of HR at the Department of Administration.
Which one was she? Across?
She was the quiet, dark-haired one. Yes. Yeah.
So they gave no rationale?
No.
They were just non-responsive.
And I told her, well, I told her several times I did not understand her logic. And I couldn't get in.
Well, this is logic, or?
No.
Well,
the governor's logic.
I didn't say that. No. The governor's logic.
I mean, we actually have industry support for this.
Right, we do.
So the AGA has actually come out, and Southwest Gas.
Correct.
In favor of this additional regulation for the protection of public health, and he's unwilling to even entertain the concept.
That's my impression, yes.
I mean, you know that the other option would be to take this to the federal level.
Well, I'm wondering if you as a board think we should write to the NTSB and explain our experience in trying to ask the governor to repeal the exemption on behalf of public protection. I think that will piss the governor off, but it is something I've thought about doing. Because
he wants to get rid of all of you.
They sent the report to me, although it was addressed to the governor, so...
No, the NTSB has, as a federal agency, has gone out to all 50 states with the recommendation, and a number of states have adopted it. Obviously, Massachusetts has, for one, but New York has adopted it.
And incidentally, Friday after we left that meeting, the Houston propane gas explosion occurred, killing two people and injuring 20.
No, this is not a rare and unexpected event. This certainly is something that happens.
Right.
I'm shocked and disappointed, and I'm going to say it on the record, that the governor does not feel that this warrants further study, evaluation, and action.
That's okay. Just keep it in your back pocket, and when something does happen here, then you can go back and say, "Oh, sorry, people, that you died."
It's just sad. It's just
very sad. This is why this happened.
Well, and I think I told you that when the report came out, I was contacted by a reporter for the Arizona Mirror, which is an online liberal blog about it, and they have made repeated requests to the governor's office to find out if they're going to respond, and I haven't heard.
If I was a citizen living near a gas compressor station, and they are out there, they're spread out all over through Arizona, where you have high-pressure gas going into low-pressure distribution, I would be concerned for my health and safety.
Well, and isn't it taking that one step further? Any of us who have gas plumbed into our homes and businesses, should we be concerned that the valves and all the pressure gauges and whatever's involved are not, safe?
That, the next worst step is to take it to the public, you know.
Right.
And have them aware of what we're doing or what our governor is doing. It just seems to me that it's an at-risk action.
Especially when you have industry support. And I didn't think the letter, which I did run by Alejandro, by the way, before I mailed out, was at all obnoxious for demanding just this is, you know, what our board thinks and we're happy to participate as stakeholders and subject matter experts
and
in the field.
Did you emphasize that it's very narrow band? These are for high risk, high consequence engineering evolutions only.
Yes.
And even that narrow slice he would not entertain.
Yeah.
That's
I know. It's very disappointing.
Okay, anything else on NTSB? Let's move on to 9C.
So 9C and 9D were because Melissa had 3 minutes during the Christmas break to think about how to try to counter some of the arguments that I think we're seeing now.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I drafted up these memos.
I read them.
I don't know if you like them, if you want me to modify them, them out to what you want to do.
Well,
you
have a few Neil words in there.
Neil?
I don't know how much emphasis you want to just bring their attention to, you know, how ludicrous their action is.
Yeah, well, and the first one, 9C, obviously. These are a lot of the arguments that I've heard from the Institute for Justice, so this was a cathartic experience for me, but I thought if you liked some of it, or if you wanted to include it in a newsletter, or put some portions of it up on the website, or for me to use when I go to the legislature, it's just here for discussion. You don't have to do anything with it.
If we wanted to use parts of some of these for whatever reason, mm-hmm. how would we reference you or reference the board? Or would there be a reference to this?
If you wanted, I guess you could identify paragraphs that you liked or arguments you wanted fleshed out, and we could finalize something, put it up on the website or in the newsletter or however, or not.
So Melissa, is there the opportunity for you to copy this from this packet and keep it in a place where maybe we can look at it?
Yeah, definitely.
Outside of this meeting?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, my packets go.
Yeah, if you want, I can certainly email you. You can mark it up. We can take some time and you can add things to it, just delete, whatever you want. It's just, like I said, me having a few minutes to think about some arguments that maybe we could use. And the other one, D, is more of a short summary of what we do and why we're a really good board. Some of which I'm hoping to use at the legislature on Thursday.
I was thinking of the same.
Right. The.
Are you going to speak on Thursday?
Oh, yes, I am. But we need to take a position for me to speak about. Well, we can talk about that in the next agenda item.
So as we look at these items, they're crafted or drafted by Melissa. Does the board have any objection to Melissa representing herself with any of this? Is that a question? Is that an appropriate question for the board? I mean, if she was to write this and, I don't know, submit it to something, I don't know, the New Yorker or something or whatever, would that offend anybody on the board?
No.
I mean, if she does it as an individual or in her capacity.
Well, no, she would do it as the board. Yeah.
Well, something that, I mean, maybe it's not, maybe... Maybe her saying this is the board is not the appropriate thing. I'm not sure I'd go that far, but I would just say if she's going to do this on her own initiative, is there anything here that would offend anybody?
Well, no, I mean, it's on board letting it. That's what I'm
saying. It doesn't have to be.
No, but I'm
as a New Yorker, what do you think?
I'm definitely in favor of maintaining a regulated profession. I mean, this is what's at stake here. I mean, if they continue to weaken it, whether through this these bills or other venues, we're going to be coming from behind. So we have to get ahead of it. So right now, law is on our side until it's taken away.
Does anybody see, excuse me on this, but I mean, the benefit to, I mean, we understand these bills because we're here and we do it, but does anybody in any of your offices other than you guys even know about a lot of this stuff?
Probably not.
Licensed engineers? I mean, would it be worthwhile?
They knew a ton about it when the landscape architect, we had one in the office.
Yeah, I talked about it.
Right, and some of the you, AIA, but only because you're on the board.
We talked.
No, I wasn't.
You were working in another office, and
no,
you weren't here.
Tina, our organization, AIA, knows.
AIA gets very involved.
So, but you know, I think you know, like some of these bills that are coming up. I mean, would it be worthwhile to send out a blast email to all the registrants of here is the bill that is being proposed, and then this
that's
is the reason for the board.
About. Right. That's
you
what
know,
I want to talk
okay.
about.
So everyone can get it, read it.
We've got an agenda item for that.
Okay, here's what it is. And then, here's the response.
Yeah.
So that, you know, not just people here, or people in our offices that we talk to, but people that are outside it, but are registrants, get it and realize, my God, I didn't know the government was doing this.
So apparently we've got that agendized up ahead, so we'll hold that thought, Jason. That might be the last thought you make with this board.
But I mean, these are some thoughts we could share. I want to be careful about emailing this particular document to all our licensees, because I think what's more powerful is when they read the bill, come up with their own ideas, and write to their legislators or talk to their associations or whatever in their own words.
So this is the NTSB thing, or
no. You know, my thoughts. What I
your thoughts? Okay, all right.
These are some things we could maybe post on our website as reference, or you know, put in our newsletter and publish or use to as talking points for the board at the legislature.
So whether or not I'm right or wrong, I ask the question of, does it, as Gene said, the board letterhead. This is America, think what you want, write what you want. You know what I mean? Where's the line? What's the line? And that's kind of what I was soliciting a minute ago, is does anybody have any bad feelings if Melissa creates these works here and would do something with them under her own initiative or under her role just as an employee or executive or whatever, where it's not necessarily representative of the board, but she's conveying her thoughts at whatever level she was.
Well, like this, the case for the board. I mean, I think if you took off the sentence, a case for the board, you know, and just sent this out, I mean, people would understand. I mean, this is pretty good. I mean, it's a pretty good explanation of what we are and what we do and everything else. I mean, you know, and
actually,
okay, wait, we've got somebody that's interested in this. Is this an opportunity for us to endorse this document as a board and send it out?
Is it, I think, know? 9D is very factual.
Yes. You know, yeah, apparently that's what it was intended to be.
Whereas 9C
is more argumentative.
It's your opinion.
Right.
In some cases. And we need to back it up with facts. I don't know how to do that, but there's facts.
Okay.
To make it believable. Like, there if you don't do this, there's going to be more sinkholes. Well, I don't really.
That's an opinion.
I'm talking about the case for the board. I think that's a good document that explains.
9D with a different title. Yeah, yeah. Fantastic. Well, and you know what I did?
Well, I'm just making the case is 9D is based
Friday,
on facts.
9C
is opinion.
I saw a case for the board,
well,
and
it's got a lot of language
sentence,
in it.
And then
that
I left this document.
Is more emotional.
I think it's super factual and good to get out to the public about what we do.
Cool.
So we can make. I'll make that modification and put it up on the website.
People are comfortable with that being on board letterhead?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay, yeah.
Good.
Board. That's who we are.
Cool. All right, cool. So we'll do that one. And then, you know, we can keep 9C. Like I said, it was just a work in progress while I was thinking about all these arguments. And
I do agree with Neil. I think it's great you put that down and bring it to us.
Yeah.
And we all can share it and look at it and maybe even share it to us individually. Yeah. I think that's good. That's stimulating to us. But I agree with you. When you get into the opinion thing, I'm a little touchy on that, just not because it's any particular person's opinion, but because it is an opinion, you know, so.
Fair. Very fair.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for indulging me. Do you want to talk about the legislation?
I think it wiped out at the end of the day or something.
Is that 9F?
Yeah. 9.
Let's move to 9F.
Okay. So, the bills have been dropping, and the most recent one was dropped yesterday, which I shared with Scott, and that is the potential rewrite that I assume was drafted by the Institute for Justice regarding the definition of engineering practice. That's Senate Bill 1298. I think it's interesting to note that they only went after engineering practice, that they didn't go after architectural practice or any of the other practice areas. So it is my personal opinion that this is a direct result of the litigation that the Institute for Justice brought against us on behalf of Mr. Mills. Of course, I don't know for sure, but I would like to know how you want me to respond to this. This one has not yet been set for a committee, but it will go to the Commerce Committee, and it will go through rules. So it hasn't yet appeared on a Commerce Committee agenda, but I'm sure it will. Do you want me, on your behalf, to oppose this, to be neutral, or to agree with this?
Okay, so we're going to discuss this.
Yes.
My Uncle Bob always said, vote no and vote out. That was his policy, and I believe that with these bills. I'm in a position where I think we should say no.
Yep.
If for no other reason than to have the opportunity for people to discuss and examine and look at it
right.
more in depth. So.
And I think with your permission, I would like to say that if the legislature wants to change the definition of engineering practice, they should engage a stakeholder group of engineers and other interested stakeholders to work that out before they determine, based on their limited experience and expertise, what engineering practice should be in Arizona. So that's just one thought of a remark I would like to make.
The question I have is on item 11, the engineering practice, it was stricken out in red.
Yeah.
Looks like they repeated the sentence later in blue.
Yeah.
So what does that mean, or what are they trying to do?
So they are striking language they don't like in red.
But they
and
repeat
adding
it.
Language they want in exchange in capital blue.
It appears to be the same words.
Looks like the same stuff.
I have no idea.
Okay.
I'm just wondering if I'm missing a phrase or a word in here that...
Like not?
Yeah.
and it is awfully hard to understand the intent. I know Doug looked at this yesterday and made a really good comment to me. He's like, well, who's going to make the determination about the application of special knowledge and expertise? And who's going to determine what special knowledge and expertise are? I mean, these are all questions that really, in my opinion, should be fleshed out by stakeholders, you know? And
they're really just trying to get rid of going after somebody for advertising?
I think that's the intent, but it's hard to know by the way they drafted it.
Yeah.
And so you know, I promised Alejandro, he and I did speak about this last night, he votes in favor of opposing this and says also that it doesn't appear very clear and will be confusing to practitioners and to the public. So
can we direct Melissa to prepare negative responses to this with stakeholder input?
Yeah.
Or do we need to vote on that, Scott?
I think Melissa could probably take direction from the board.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Okay, is there anybody that is not comfortable with that?
And I expect the committee will meet, they meet once a week. The Commerce Committee usually meets on Thursday mornings, so it's not on this week's agenda, maybe on next week's or, you know, at some point through the month of February. So probably before we meet again, unless you want to have a telephonic board meeting. The next bill that is seriously concerning to me and what made my head explode at the governor's office is Senator Eugenti Rita's bill, which is Senate Bill 1274. And the governor made reference to this in the State of the State, where he referred again to regulatory boards as the dark corner of state government, filled with cronies and...
Good old boys, I think was the word.
And girls, I hope.
No, well, in his State of the State.
Yeah. So he wants to take out the professionals and put his own people in.
Right.
Well, that'll solve the problem.
Right. So I called and asked for the meeting that Andy came with me to discuss the remarks, but also to discuss the pending legislation that he referenced, which dropped after I made the request. So this is one I think we should ask to be exempted from. And if we can't be exempted from this for the very clear reason that we are the polar opposite of the North Carolina Dental Board decision, which is what the governor's office told us was the impetus for this bill, that we should oppose it. Because there is no public protection when one entire group of licensed professionals will be excluded from this board.
And they have a majority. The public members have a total majority then, overruling all the professionals that are represented by 5-4
exactly.
Majority.
And I think I mentioned that in my tirade to the governor's staff, that you receive about 1,600 pages a month from us of reports and technical drawings and calculations. And I'm a lay person, and I've worked with you for 10 years, and it's overwhelming to me. I don't know how a lay person who doesn't have knowledge and experience working with such a technical group of professionals could ever sift through and determine whether a correct determination was made. Like, we saw several examples of that just today with the land surveying issue that Jason weighed in on, because he knows what technical knowledge and skill is required. And when Jason spoke up about the structural case, I mean, yes, you all are professionals. And Gene, you are an engineer, but you're not a structural.
Right.
So there may
be... Or a land surveyor.
Or a surveyor, right. Which is not casting aspersions on any of your education or experience. It's just, how could you know all of this? And how will public members with any credibility stand up to a licensee that we are trying to discipline when that licensee's profession is not represented on this board? Why would they take any discipline action we impose on them seriously when they're not represented?
Right.
And how does that serve the public, really? And
well,
that's what I
would
like
to say.
You
could have no engineer. You
exactly.
could have no architect.
Right. It's the governor's choice of which of the professions will not be included. And that's just wrong. I mean, if you look at the other boards on this, in this bill, they're all single profession boards. So,
yeah, funeral homes.
Right. I mean, so maybe they would benefit from more public membership because they wouldn't be losing as much expertise as we do. But again, this, in my opinion, is another example of them not understanding what you guys do and why you're important.
So, Melissa, I think you really have a good foundation there in that example that we are different. We are a diverse
right.
board.
Right.
And that we have a lot of balance and equity in what we do. Does anybody have any trouble if she works on that project, or can we task Melissa with that?
And this will be
that?
Heard in the Commerce Committee day
Thursday.
After tomorrow.
Thursday.
So just reading
Thursday.
Through it, every single the common theme is that every board will be outnumbered by public members.
Correct. Correct.
Not just ours.
Right. Not just ours.
The massages will be outnumbered. The barbers will be outnumbered.
But ours is the only multidisciplinary board in this group.
Even ours is the only technical one. I mean,
yeah.
The only technical one mentioned. I mean, okay, a barber. I mean, seriously. I mean, what?
Yeah.
I mean, what technical expert? Oh, I cut hair.
Well, the cleaning of the tools and the
Well, I know, but
yeah.
Normal people can probably understand, hey, you put the scissors in the blue stuff. You know?
Stick the concrete in the rebar.
Comb in the blue stuff.
Oh, right. Comb in the blue stuff. Right. Sorry.
I mean, at the very least, I would suggest that they'd want to expand the board so that they could keep all five professions on it.
Right.
If they need to outnumber us, that's 11 board members.
Melissa threw that out, too.
You know, why weren't we invited?
Seems like at least then you've got all five people, and then we can get outnumbered by people who aren't going to vote, and they're going to stare at us anyway for our opinion.
But even saying an engineer.
An engineer.
I mean, our field is so diverse.
Right.
I mean, when you think
that's
of
very
it.
True.
It runs the gamut. I don't know about architecture. I'm sure that
geology is very diverse.
It's
as well.
It's a very diverse profession.
Yeah, to be a civil almost.
Yeah, geology is almost as diverse as engineering in terms of seismology, volcanology, hydrology. I mean, you know, geoscience, geophysics. All of that, it's all really different. We're lucky to have Steve, and we're lucky we don't get that many complaints against geologists. But engineers, I mean, you guys are half the active population, more or less, of our registered base. And to have three, we're lucky. We could have five, I think, and be better represented, because we have tons of civils, structurals, mechanicals, electricals, and then like an ancillary group. You know, but
he'll pick people that are in his pocket. You know, developers that need some tax deals. You know, title companies. It'll be peripheral professions that think they know just a little bit. That'll be.
And one thing I did try to tell the governor's office was that, yes, we do use experts, because that's the thing. You know, well, you use experts in your enforcement advisory committees, and they make recommendations. And I said, well, that's true, but oftentimes they don't have all the evidence. And when individuals come and they speak to the full board, recommendations are not always blanketly accepted. You guys make your independent determinations based on your technical knowledge and skill and your view of additional evidence that public members won't understand.
Right.
So
you're in both directions. We've done it both directions.
Right.
Either
exactly.
More harsh or less harsh.
Exactly.
You're gonna hear from them. I didn't know that.
Right. Well.
Structural. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And we've sent matters back to further investigation because we didn't think that they
plug it in.
Thoroughly evaluated.
Right. I mean, what I really want to point out is this board is the polar opposite of the North Carolina Dental Board, which was a perfect storm of the regulatory admin law world. That was a board that was made up entirely of dentists that were elected from the licensed base. They were not appointed by the governor. They did not have sunset. They did not have term limits. They did not have public members. And they got to just adopt whatever laws and rules they wanted. Then they went about issuing cease and desist orders to these teeth whitening people that they didn't have authority to issue. So yeah, it was a perfect storm, and the FTC looked for that perfect storm to make this case. Our board never operated like that and doesn't, because we're multidisciplinary, we're subject to term limits, we have a public member, no one of these professions has a majority. I mean, these are the comments I want to make at the committee meeting, but I think it's a really important opportunity to ask to be exempted from this and to state our case about what we do and why we do it.
Okay, everybody good with tasking Melissa with that?
Yep.
Yeah.
Go Titus.
And so you know as well, Doug Folk is going to come to this committee meeting and speak to the point that Andy spoke to at the governor's office about being a well-informed public member who is a construction law attorney and former board member. So hopefully we can make some headway. I also understand from NCARBON NCWS's lobbyists that they will also be addressing the larger national concerns that they may have about this bill and how it will impact other.
Now, is this something the committee just listens to? Or just take them getting input?
I expect this bill will pass through this committee because Ms. Eugenti Rita, the sponsor, is on the committee. But because it passes through this committee doesn't mean it passes the whole legislature. It will still need to go through the Rules Committee, which is not open to public comment, and there is opportunity to try to get sponsors to make amendments, like pulling us out of the bill. And then it will go across to the House, where we will have an opportunity to be heard again, with the hope that we can be removed or some other action can happen to it before the governor sees it. So, and I, in no uncertain terms, told the governor's office that we wanted to be removed, or if we needed to have it vetoed, which isn't going to happen, but or to be invited to a meeting to talk about if they don't like the distribution of board members, maybe we should have some input in how the board is modified. So we shall see what happens. But I'm trying to be...
I've never seen, and again, I'm just saying this for the record, but I have never seen any member of the Arizona legislature sitting in our meetings. These are public meetings. They're open. You're all more than welcome and invited to listen to us and participate if you wish. But no one ever shows up, and they make all these
decisions. Well, how do you know that, though?
I'm speculating, but it may be. I would like to see more participation. We are an open forum meeting, and in fact we're in the capital area. I mean, you don't have to go walk far.
Should we invite? Should we reach out and invite people?
We've tried in the past, and no one has. Although I do have to say, Warren Peterson came some years back to argue on behalf of an unlicensed architect that we reinstated without testing, and we said no. But that was years ago.
And he's then you put a bill for it like the next session.
Right.
Get rid of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that was awesome.
Yeah. But what upsets me is that this bill is pending where he's using an old Supreme Court decision now that doesn't apply to us, but he won't accept an FTC, an NTSB recommendation for public protection. Now, I won't say that because I don't want to piss off anyone anymore, but I just see that being a serious dichotomy, and it just demonstrates political partisanship, in my opinion, which is not why any of us are here. Anyway.
Okay, can we move on to 10, Melissa?
The other bills are more or less just in here for you to see. There are other crackpot bills that are being introduced. The one, actually 1212 just sort of cleans up the universal licensure thing and sort of takes away that residency requirement. That will probably pass. And then Senator Kern's bill is...
So you're saying on that one you don't even have to be a resident in Arizona to get a license? Good Lord.
Yeah. And Jason, House Bill 2589 is the one that talks about land divisions and county regulations not requiring surveys. So just so you know, I did talk to APLS about that, and they are obviously opposed to it, because they're saying you don't have to have a survey done to divide land. So that's the only other one that I think is specific to a profession.
But yours is mine.
This is my area.
This is mine.
Yeah. So Representative Kern's bill, non-health professions, Senate Bill 1142, it's a repeat from last year, and it really applies to sunset of boards like ours, where there's a rebuttable presumption that regulation isn't important and that people should just be allowed to practice. So I don't know. We'll watch this one. But if you're okay, I'll just appear as neutral on the rest of these and monitor them for you.
Can you include the land division one with the folks here? Because I think it has some impact on...
I think it was.
I don't see it in the packet.
Oh, you sorry.
But Just, you know, with the civils, I think it would be important too, because that does have an impact on their lot design and things.
And obviously, if you hear of other bills that Patty and I don't hear about, feel free to just let me know, and we'll monitor those as well. I'm happy to go to these meetings and report on, you know, what happens with these bills. And if I'm asked to answer questions, I'm happy to do that. But I really feel our energies are best spent opposing the two bills that we talked about earlier, 1274 and 1298.
Okay, thank you, Melissa. On to your director's report.
I don't have much of a director's report, as you saw, other than the budget information, which was actually quite positive, and I included both the proposed budget from the governor's office and the proposed budget from the Joint Legislative Budget Committee. Knock wood, they approved, basically, not that it's gone through yet, but they approved three of the five special requests, special funding requests we made. The only one we didn't get was for money to offset the charges for taking credit cards, but we're not too worried about that because I think that comes off the top of our revenues. So I don't think we needed necessarily a special appropriation for that. And then we did get money to pay out some people who are threatening to retire who have a lot of sick leave. And we did get a recommendation to contract on an as-needed basis with someone to help us with our continuing data cleanse project issues. So those were all really good things. So keeping my fingers crossed, that's what passes. Traditionally, the legislature has pretty much approved the governor's proposed budget. Other than that, our numbers for monthly applications and all looked good, and we have 55 open investigations, 43 of which are against registrants and 12 against non-registrants. And there are 32 cases pending formal hearing. So that's my report.
Awesome. I don't have a report. We'll move on to the Assistant Attorney General's report. Scott, do you have anything?
Just some two agendized items. The Victor Johnson judicial review action.
What's he doing?
Excuse me, was that Victor Johnson or Victor Johnson Jr.?
You are so going to miss that.
That'll be the Victor Johnson, a.k.a. Victor Johnson Jr. At present, the court, on its own recognizance, gave Mr. Johnson an extension. Mr. Johnson had a deadline to file an opening brief. He missed it. The court issued a minute entry stating that it will be dismissed if there is no brief issued by February 28th. So the court, I assume because he's a pro per, gave him a grave leniency. So if nothing is filed at him by February 28th, then the court will simply dismiss it and we'll go away. With regards to the status of the latest Deprima denial hearing, that is set for a hearing on March 10th, and I believe that is going to be handled by Dee Ray at the Office of Administrative Hearings.
Scott, is this an appropriate time for me to bring up a request of you to offer some kind of training refresher or something on our communications, you know, the way we would communicate through email and so on and so forth?
Open
meeting laws, that type of thing?
Excellent suggestion for a future agenda.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Get that on the next one.
Is that it?
I could do an hour and a half on it now.
It's not on the agenda.
Not on the agenda.
Because I don't want to make people next month sit through an hour and a half of that.
I haven't gotten any official paperwork.
Well, officially, I'm not going to be here next month, so
you can phone
whatever
in.
You need to tell yourself.
Okay. So, Scott, are you good on that, on your item?
Yeah, unless there are any questions regarding either of those agenda items.
Anybody? Okay. Standing committee reports. LNR?
So we are wondering if we should empower the legislation and rules committee to invite people to talk about drones and use of that technology and make some kind of recommendation to the board. Are you guys interested in that? Because it seems we've seen some cases recently and,
yep.
You know.
Yeah, it's timely.
Okay. Yeah, but I think having some public comment about it and, you know, maybe
input is learning.
Get some ideas about how we can work better with it and within our
we
law.
We get all these phrases.
Maybe
that's
idea of modifying law or not.
Strict and certain.
A rule, something.
Yeah.
Any other issues that you would like to see legislation or rules tackle for a potential meeting? Nothing yet. You can let me know if there's anything compelling. And then we'll see if we can get the committee together. We have had some forum issues. So.
Was there a meeting on January 15th?
That's the home inspector meeting. That occurred on January 15th.
Not the LNR committee.
Right. Okay. They haven't met in a while.
Okay.
They had amended the agenda and it was split.
I'm sorry. Okay. So you flipped it.
Okay. Since Jean brought it up, and I believe you're done, Melissa.
Yes.
Let's roll into home inspector rules and standards. Anything come out of that meeting? Too memorable.
I wasn't there.
They proposed the questions that the candidates were, that we saw today.
Okay.
They spent most of the meeting doing that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did they send those questionnaires out to the masses?
They sent them out to the candidates, yes. So everybody was hopefully on the same level playing field with questions that you might have found important in your...
But did they send them to people that didn't apply?
Or? Yeah,
no,
only
just
to the interested.
Just the interested?
Yeah.
Right.
Did you want one, Steve?
Just wonder how they came up with these guys. I mean, they're all good.
It's not,
we haven't
called
it yet.
What was the call to the public to these guys to even say, hey, if you're interested in applying, how did that go out?
I can explain it. It was a mass email to every single home inspector.
There you go.
If you have a letter, send us a letter of interest, and this poster is also on the website.
Yeah.
And so these are the individuals who can be letter of interest.
So the masses got the open door.
Yes, we invited everyone to apply.
Cream the crop, keep forward.
And Mr. Kramer has a topic he'd like to propose.
Yeah, the last several EACs, the committee members don't like the 1-4 severity rating.
Oh.
They think it's too narrow, too restrictive, and I kind of agree with them with it as well. So I think that needs to be discussed.
Okay.
What's a what's a solution? What are the options?
Well, the professionals, you've got a 1-10 severity rating.
Okay.
So it gives you a little bit more leeway of how severe you think that the violation is. Here, it's really narrow. You know, you're either this, or if it's not that, then it's this. Well, it's just a little too severe. I wish it was this way.
Yeah.
Well, if you get a 3, 75% or something, right, or 2 would be 50, that wouldn't seem very good, yeah.
Right, but what if it's, what if you
architects
have
360? Architects, though, too. 1-2.
Then what do you have? 3.4?
We don't.
Okay.
Okay.
So we'll put that on the next agenda for home.
Thank you, Mr. Kramer.
You announce these meetings now that I'm involved. you do announce them, right?
Kurt will send you an email telling you when it is.
All right.
Okay. I'd like to get keep moving here. Is everybody done with standing committees?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go to 14. Board member reports. ASBOG. Anything?
Nothing there.
CLARB?
None.
NCARB?
They have hired the law firm of Lewis Rocha, Roth Gerber, and Christie to represent their interests and the interests of their coalition, which includes NCWS and CLARB, and the accountants and the interior designers. So I will see them down at the legislature on some of the bills that they have concerns about. And NCARB, Mike Armstrong, and two members of his staff are coming to visit us in February. So we are reserving a time on the agenda for them to talk about IPAL, which is their faster road to registration for very qualified architectural candidates. And they have said that if you would like to join them for a lunch or dinner after the meeting, they would welcome that, but we would need to agendize that. So let me know if you are interested in attending that afterwards, after the meeting.
They canceled last year.
Yes, but they're coming back this year. Okay?
Okey-dokey. NCEES, looks like Jane might have something here.
Yeah, I had the opportunity to spend a few days last week in San Antonio with NCEES on their, they have a policies and procedure committee that basically reviews all the policies and procedures which govern their examinations. It was a pretty thick book. We went over and it's going to be at the annual meeting. You're going to see a number of motions being put up on the board. Most of it was editorializing. Some of it was substantive in the sense that, for instance, for those who are familiar with the vernacular, there are no more Group 1 and Group 2 examinations. All that's gone the way. Just for the people who aren't familiar, Group 1 have large examination volumes like mechanical, civil, electrical. Group 2s have a very small population like agriculture, mining and metallurgy,
nuclear,
naval. Naval. So they were offered more infrequently, like once a year, whereas the Group 1 exams had been offered twice in the past, like April and October. However, now all of the exams by 2022 will have been moved over to what they're calling computer-based testing. You know, on computer-based testing, the test psychometricians take over, and these examinations now will be open to the all throughout the year. So you don't have to have designated time. There'll be a testing center with computer screens set up for the examination. So the policy had to be adjusted to recognize all those transitions that that will be taking place, and it's going to be pretty good, quite innovative. I don't want to get into too much detail on it, but the push is to get all of the known disciplines into a computer-based testing platform, ultimately and including structural engineering, which, as I was, you know, explaining to Jason, it's a, they're going to hopefully construct that 16-hour exam, break it down into modules for consumption like CPAs or, you know, for accountants, where you have multiple parts and you accumulate grades. You don't get licensed until all parts have been passed.
Like the ARE.
So you'll get the equivalent. Now, the other important threshold event with structural engineering is that it is considered a P&P, principal and practice exam.
Right.
Which means if you pass the structural examination, you become licensable.
Yes.
You can hold a PE with, you don't have to pass the civil exam, you pass the structural exam, you will become licensable at a PE, and many states are adopting that practice.
We have always had that as the case.
Right, here. Not all states,
right.
Though,
California
had that.
California in particular would require civil first, and then going for sure.
Correct, right. Now, another important issue that I have to mention for the board's attention is that there were a number of professions whose examinations had fallen below the mandatory volume level. There were just simply not enough test takers. Wow. So you're going to see on the national agenda when we meet, I guess, later in the year in Chicago, there's motions that are going to be put up which are putting these professions on probation, which means that in the next three administrations of their exams, if they don't break through the volume level, you're out.
Right.
Now, the impact for that to our board is that we license those professions. So the ones that are going to be hit are agriculture, nuclear, and electrical computer. Okay? So if, let's say, you're licensed in nuclear and they fail the next three volume exams and they no longer have an NCEES examination available, I don't know how we license nuclear engineers in Arizona.
Because yeah, that's like the software engineers.
Yeah, you don't have now an NCEES examination. It won't be offered.
Not even as a module of another one.
Well, it could. One of the recommendations would be to fold it into another, so you might fold, let's say, into mechanical.
Right.
So you might have a mechanical depth module in nuclear, but you're now, per our regulations, you're a mechanical engineer, because the exam you took was mechanical.
Right.
You didn't take nuclear, although right now we license nuclear. So there's a downstream effect for the board. We'll see how all of this rolls out, but for the moment, there'll be a motion in front of the National Council to accept, to adopt this probation for those three disciplines at the annual meeting. And then we'll see where that takes us into the future.
That's interesting. And Alejandro is currently at the exam writing task force meeting at NCWS, which is why he isn't here. Alejandro.
Where?
In Clemson.
Yeah, they're very strict on exam security. So all exam writing is taking place in their headquarters in Clemson. They've actually bought a new building there.
Right, in Greenville.
So you'll be flying into the Greenville, South Carolina airport.
Beautiful airport, by
the way.
It's really one of the best.
It is. So that's where they will be hubbing and producing the examinations. There is I did get an invite, Melissa, so you know, I guess maybe you informed them, but they have me as a board-funded...
Yes.
Okay.
For the Zoom meeting.
For the Zoom meeting coming up in, May? Is it May?
April in Houston.
Oh, April in Houston.
JVU and I are funded. Okay. And so you should get an invite as well. If anyone else wants to go, there's one more funded position for board members, and if we send staff, we would have to pay for that ourselves. So Alejandro is busy, and JMAD was otherwise conflicted as well.
JMAD is
conflicted. He's conflicted.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
I wouldn't have went anyway, so.
Anything else,
Jim? On the record.
No, sir. That's all. Well,
that's a fantastic report. It's very thorough.
Really well,
thank you.
Here we go, Chief.
Okay, our next topic's ABET. Anything on ABET?
I don't know. Are you getting any information?
I got nothing.
I'm getting worried again. Well, they're going to lead us right to the 11th hour and 59th minute. Because apparently in 2020, and spilling over into 2021, should be ASU. And we're not.
It would be nice to be included.
You know, we're not getting any information. We want to be at ASU.
Yes, we do.
They got huge student population for their educational requirement.
Okay. They may hear from you more happily than.
Okay, Land Surveyor Task Force, we are just fine-tuning some language. We're going through our issues. We're preparing this thing. I think Melissa took a pretty in-depth look, and we're responding to that, and we're just kind of beating some things into shape, and we'll return that document back to her for her review and then to send up through the channels of review, I guess you'd say. So that's it for the Land Survey Task Force. Future board meetings. I am going to propose that we meet, of course, at our regular date of February 25th, but I'd like to propose a phone meeting for February 11th. We, of course, we need to advertise these, and I'm also going to propose an additional date 2 weeks after the 25th, but I think it's important that we have this opportunity, at least, to convene on a regular basis during our current litigation and during the legislative season to be able to react to some of the things that we're seeing. So the dates I'm going to propose are February 11th. Of course, we're regularly meeting on the 25th, then March 10th, and then we'll have a regular meeting on the 24th, and I think that's about good for the foreseeable future. Again, I propose telephonic meetings. If for some reason we don't get a quorum, I guess we don't get a quorum, right? I mean, yeah. if nobody calls.
Do you have a time in mind for this?
Well, does anybody have a feeling of what would be an appropriate time?
9 o'clock, like in the morning.
Yeah, at least I can remember 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock.
6 a.m.
What's the March date?
10? 3 a.m.
March 10th, and we'll set those for 9 o'clock. And the
so
topic...
So, I will be in Massachusetts on March 10th, but...
I was calling.
Patty should be... Oh, wait.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, Patty should be back, because we have the NCARB regional.
Doesn't matter, you can call in.
Yeah, it's a call-in thing.
Or I can
so,
call in.
Yeah,
right.
Okay. I think... So the topics of discussion would be litigation and legislative action.
Okay.
Action or the legislature, probably. I don't want to misrepresent that term either, like we're some legislative action group. But
can you do that in executive session?
Legislative
action?
No, that would have to be public, right?
Yeah.
So you can't put legislative action in there.
Well, we could do a public and then say we're going into executive.
I know, but how are you going to do a phone in public? I mean, I guess
we do it at SFB all the time. It just, they have to open up their office for anybody who wants to wander in and listen to us.
I'm not sure we'd be able to call.
Okay. I'm just going to work it out. Every once in a while, we'll have board agenda items that just have to be taken care of. It's like a long agenda public.
So if one or the other doesn't materialize, we have the opportunity to go to the other. That's my big attempt at coverage there. So, and again, if we don't get a quorum, we don't have a meeting. I don't know that there's such a negative impact. If nothing was to materialize and we didn't have a quorum, it just wouldn't happen. So is everybody comfortable with that? Does that sound good?
Yeah, and it should be a long meeting, those two issues.
Yeah, okay. So we will schedule on that, and I'll rely on Kurt to send out memos. Is that okay, Kurt?
Mm-hmm.
All right, awesome. And the advertising. And of course, our next regular meeting here would be February 25th. Same time, same sandbox. Suggested topics for future meeting agendas. Scott, I would like to pursue the open meeting law, email type of thing, communication.
Absolutely.
Melissa, whatever happened to her shirts that Dolly said,
question.
You know,
did,
months
I think
ago?
The only one that ordered one or wanted one.
I just want to be like Jason.
Hey, I'm not.
He's got one.
I'll drop mine back on.
Okay. You, Scott?
No, that's okay.
Okay, yeah, so we can wrap this up. We didn't have shirts agendized, so maybe we could carry it out. With that, I'm going to call for adjournment at 2:31. Thank you, everybody,
thank you
for showing
much.
Up and giving the extra effort today.